Too often, the church can come across as a stuffy organization, or maybe to the community, hypocritical. Or in the words of Isaiah, we say one thing, or we do spiritual exercises here, but then, we forget about it during the week, and there's no impact in the community or the world. Maybe we're just a gathering of like-minded friends. But reading Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he says it rather clearly, you, plural, are salt for the earth. You, plural, you all are the light of the world. You, church, are a city built on the top of a town or a hill that can't be hidden. Public, visible, vibrant images of the church in mission. Now, of course, we gather here Sunday after Sunday, and we encourage one another. We offer our praise and thanks to God. We share, we care about others. We are light and salt for our friends in this community, in this space. And we bring our tithes and our offerings. We bring our coins and our dollars for the Mennonite Central Committee jar. We bring canned goods as well, and our boxes of cereal for manna. All good things. But how are we salt and light beyond what we're doing on Sunday mornings? How are we getting out there? Because as Andrew suggested, salt in the shaker isn't really doing any good if it doesn't get out now and then. Our flashlights aren't all that valuable when the lights are on. And when there is a bright light shining in this space, we don't need any other additional light. We have lots of good salt in this place, though, in this room. Wonderful salty salt, and the brightest and best of lights in the community are gathered here Sunday morning, concentrated in one place. And yet notice what Jesus says here. His language isn't angry at all. There's no edge to what Jesus is saying, no condescending spirit in what he's speaking about. He's not even demanding, you ought to be light, you should be the salt of the earth. No. Rather, Jesus simply says, you already are the salt of the earth. You have already received your new identity as the light of the world, as a city built on a hill. By God's grace, somehow we've already been chosen to be this fertilizing agent, this light of good news in the community for all to see. And if last week we focused on the inward journey, as Richard Lichty reminded us again of the Beatitudes and how the Beatitudes work inside of us as much as call us to reach out, these words now for Jesus and the crowds and the disciples that hear Jesus are now about getting out there, making an impact in the world, our journey outside toward others. And it doesn't mean we all need to take a long journey to India to do that, or to South Carolina and serve with Mennonite Disaster Service to make it happen. In fact, I came back from India and I wonder really what difference did I make? One person, 8 or 10 days. And we saw a lot of good light and a lot of good salt in India already. These little rural congregations are already making a difference in their community. Some of these congregations are one small block building, maybe 20 by 20 feet with a tin roof, and others are much larger with plaster walls and windows and decorated garland and lights. And there's joy, there's life, there's relationships in these buildings by the people and the prayer ministries that are attracting folks from their village and community, and they plant seeds and they become light as they offer these free eye clinics to everyone in the community, and people come in for free testing of their eyes and free corrective glasses, literally helping people see the light. One local woman was all smiles telling us through an interpreter that on this very Sunday, her husband was in church for the very first time. and then went on to ask for prayer for herself and her husband, who was sometimes abusive to her, still living in some darkness and often without hope. Being salt and light, it sometimes simply happens by showing up, just adding flavor, maybe saying thank you, or leaving a generous tip at the restaurant, or taking extra time to meet with somebody, listening, paying attention, offering a word of encouragement. You are called to add zest to life, to bring energy. And of course, we all want to make a big splash and create ripples of impact, have a large effect and difference in the world. But a grain of salt is all it takes. Just a little salt goes a long way. A little light in a dark room can make a huge difference. In fact, one pastor writes about just a little tiny green LED light on his printer, on his desk, in his bedroom, can keep him awake all night. I think that pastor needs to go to India and stay awake for about 50 hours, and then they'll sleep like a baby when they come home, light or no light. Salt and light are powerful images. Just a little bit is all it takes to make a huge difference. Just a single courageous voice. A community that lives differently, alternatively, in the midst of a world can have a dramatic impact, especially in a world that has gone cynically mad and distracted on so much it doesn't feed our souls. Just a few people to be different. Throughout history, the church has had incredible impact in the world, and starting hospitals and orphanages, making great impacts in local communities, starting organizations like Manna on Main Street out of a church basement. Churches can have a huge impact in the world, and I find it reassuring and really encouraging to read this 100th year anniversary of the Mennonite Central Committee and how hungry people in Ukraine called for help, and help came to them along the way from the United States, and this whole organization kind of flourished and grew by feeding the hungry and by caring for the less fortunate and those who were left out on the margins, saving lives literally by light and salt and packing food for the hungry and canning that food. Rather than a group that sort of remembers the memory of Jesus 2,000 years ago, the church has made a difference in our society and in our world by looking like Jesus, by living like Jesus. Our faith, while very personal, is not private. We abide in the vine, and the vine abides in us is a personal relationship, but that personal relationship goes out and touches other people, is connected to other branches. Salt and light for the world means, well, loving the neighbor that we have to deal with every day, and, well, caring for the stranger and refugees in war-torn countries, and thinking about children who go to school hungry and teens who are bullied at school and even the bullies themselves, and loving and thinking about loving those who we may even disagree with politically and religiously. Being salt and light includes relating to victims of violence and disaster and those caught in poverty and addiction, and caring for the world and the earth as well, and all God's good creatures. Madeline Engel, she writes, "We do not draw people to Christ by loudly discrediting what they believe or by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are. No. We invite people to Jesus by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want it with all their hearts, and they want to know the source of that light. Even parents can play a role in helping their children be light and salt to others. Gordon Hauser in The Mennonite highlights a recent article in The Atlantic entitled, "Stop Trying to Raise Successful Kids." And that article is writing to parents, and the authors of that article point out the difference between what parents say they want for their children and how parents actually raise their children. Almost every parent wants their children to be kind and loving and caring for others, but most children say, what mom and dad really want from me is to be successful. Well, how do they get that message turned around? Well, maybe because of the questions that they're asked at home. How did you do today on your test? How did your team do? How are you doing in school? And all of that is focused on achievement, on success, on how the test went, instead of how were you kind to somebody today? What difference did you make for someone else? Did you help anybody today? Did you show anybody love and care? And then for parents to also share with their children how they also struggle with caring for others, or how they actually were able to relate to somebody that they came across in their lives. And they also note in that article that actually helping children learn to be kind and caring, which is really on the decline today, the helping their children learn to be kind and caring actually encourages them with their future success and brings along happiness and generosity and joy. Living as salt and light turns out to be its own reward, as hopefully we'll hear from some who have served in South Carolina this past week. These images of salt and light remind us that we're not called to live for ourselves, for our own benefit. These images, light and salt, exist for a purpose, to serve, to get involved in the world, to make a little impact. Someone once asked the preacher and writer Eugene Peterson what he would say if he were preaching his last sermon or writing his last article. Peterson replied, "I think I would want to talk about the things that are immediate and ordinary. In the kind of world we live, the primary way I can get people to be aware of God is to say, 'Who are you having breakfast with tomorrow? How are you going to treat that person?' In my last sermon, I guess I would want to say, 'Go home and be a good spouse. Treat your children with respect. Do a good job at your work.' These are real, living, salt and light activities as we do ordinary stuff, rubbing shoulders with the people we meet, listening well, treating others as the special image of God that they are. This message of Jesus to be salt and light, it seems, well, maybe at times too ordinary, too simple, and not all that profound. And we look around and we see the big problems, the darkness of our world. We see a church that's sometimes, oftentimes, divided in conflict, on edge, fearful, frightened, worried that our own little bit of salt and our tiny little lights won't shine very far in the darkness. And yet in Jesus' day, they're big, still big religious systems and political systems that were at play, aligned against him. And Jesus uses these ordinary symbols to remind the people how significant a role they really play. And if they could just focus maybe on being salt and light instead of on their own differences, maybe they'd even be more effective. Here, Jesus goes on to talk about a righteousness that exceeds the Pharisees. And we wonder, well, what is a righteousness that exceeds the Pharisees? The Pharisees were known for the law and the commandments and keeping the law and the commandments just so. And then we page over to Matthew 23, where Jesus actually criticizes, condemns the religious leaders. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you tithe your herbs, mint, dill, cumin, and neglect the weightier matters of the law, like justice and righteousness and mercy. Jesus is calling for something larger than just sort of following the rules and keeping the law. Already, Matthew prepares us for this greater righteousness by giving us this genealogy at the beginning of Matthew that has all kinds of women and men who lived colorful lives outside the boundaries at times, didn't always stay in the neat confines of the law and the commandments. And Joseph comes along, who is righteous and wants to divorce Mary because she's found to be with child. And yet, with the Holy Spirit, this Joseph exudes a righteousness that goes beyond the law. Joseph sees his bigger picture, God at work, that didn't always fit into the neat doctrines. Mercy, justice, grace. Salt and light communities not only focused on the past, not strictly adhering maybe to the law and the commandments or doctrines that often divide us, but in the people who fall through the cracks, the people who are on the edge and the fringe. Even as we think back in our own history, the church was able, some at least, to transcend the law and to walk with those people of color who were kept outside by the law. Light and salt has the potential to be a bridge in our congregations and world, to transcend the differences and to make a bigger impact. Some of us go to India and we discover the need to be bridging all sorts of differences, cultural and religious, to be salt and light. And those that serve with Mennonite Disaster Service are bridge people, working side by side others with their differences to get a job done, a house finished. Salt and light bridges the chasms of our community and world. Tim Huber, writing in the Mennonite World Review recently, talks about tractor technology, of all things, and the addition of GPS systems and computer systems in farming implements, and closes with these words: GPS steering is a welcome innovation, but it's not for everyone, especially those who are still committed to farming with a team of horses. But at the end of the day, each farmer produces food, which we all need, whatever our theology. Our implements and implementation may vary, but our task is the same. This calling to be salt and light is like the task that we're called to do, our mission out in the world that bridges the differences that we come across. If we could only focus on this mission, we'd find more unity and togetherness across the church and across the world. You see, Isaiah 58 takes us right into the topic itself. This outward journey that's too often bound by the legalisms and this keeping of the fast one day and then oppressing workers and quarreling and exacting violence toward others. It doesn't go together. It's hypocritical, Isaiah says. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike the wicked with a fist. God is looking for people that are people focused, to loose the bonds of injustice, to let the oppressed go free, to share your bread with the hungry and bring homeless poor into your house and to cover the naked, these people who are suffering. Then, the prophet Isaiah says, then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Yes, there'll be light when you work at focusing on the people, when you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness. That's the challenge, to live like Jesus, to be focused on others, to give ourselves away completely. Isn't that what light does? It just goes into a room and you don't even think about the source. You think about the effect, the impact it's doing. Salt disappears in food and we don't even know that it's there, but we savor the food that we're ingesting. It's a humble task, light and salt and mission. Jesus' disciples called to transform the world by disappearing into it. Humble service. Friends, it may seem like a discouraging time in our lives, in our world. It may seem chaotic. It may seem exciting. But surely it's a time where more salt is needed, where more light is necessary. And the good news this morning is that God has already provided it. It's right here in this room, a lot of it anyway. You, friends, you are the salt of the earth. You, friends, you are the light of the world. You, church, are a city set on the hill. Just a little is all it takes. God isn't finished with us yet. God will continue to take our meager lives, our feeble offerings, our thoughts, our words, and God, by God's grace in Jesus, will touch the world through us. Thanks be to God. Amen.